welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a blessed day today. Looks like it's going to rain here again in Florida, which is actually quite nice because it's going to cool it down some. So it'll be good. They're getting Dad ready to log back in with his phone, obviously, out there in Montana. Stuff is on and off as far as with the equipment, with the communication. So whenever he gets on, we'll go ahead and bring him on the show as well. But right now, I got a couple of interesting articles. The first one goes back to Florida State University, as I brought up that article yesterday on it. This is interesting. Now, two students now yesterday were robbed at gunpoint in a Florida State University parking lot. And now, remember, guys, this was just months after the Florida Senate Judiciary killed campus carry. Ironically, the robbery at gunpoint is the second high-profile criminal use of guns on the FSU campus in less than 2 years. Remember, we were supposed to have concealed carry permit holders were supposed to be allowed to carry handguns on campus. And basically, they stopped it. They completely stopped it. They said it wasn't safe. It wasn't good. Well, now that almost all the students, they're law-abiding students. They're in school there. They don't want to get expelled. They don't want to get in trouble. They're not carrying firearms. So what happened was the students were basically out in the parking lot, and they told FSU police that a white pickup truck pulled up near them. A male exited from the passenger side armed with a handgun and demanded the students' belongings. The students cooperated by handing over all their belongings. The gunman jumped back in the truck and fled the scene. Nobody was injured. The two students described the man as a male, black, about 19 to 20 years old, approximately 5'8", 150 pounds, wearing a white T-shirt. Hair was styled as short twist dreadlocks, and he was armed with a black handgun. Now, what's so interesting about this is this type of thing happens more and more, especially in areas that people know you're not allowed to carry. You don't want, if you're a criminal and you have to look at that, you got to take a step back, guys, when you start looking at all this, because these absolute Second Amendment haters, these people that want everything banned, and, you know, there's certain places that you probably don't need to be carrying firearms. We've talked about that before, you know, courtrooms, bars, stuff like that. There's certain restrictions on some of them, and I understand that for the most part. But when you start having areas like this that are home to 30, 40, 50, 60,000 students, and you essentially bookmark them as a gun-free zone, that there are no firearms, nobody's armed, nobody has any type of defensive maneuver against a firearm from a far point of view. Now, if somebody's up close, a lot of times, if you know jiu-jitsu and aikido, you could probably disarm them, but a large percent of the population is not trained or skilled in that type of hand-to-hand combat. But when you tell that and you say, no, this is a gun-free zone, anybody that goes to school here, anybody that comes on campus, you can't carry a firearm. So 99% of the population that goes to that school wants to follow the law. They don't want to get in trouble, as I said before. So you paint a giant target on everybody's back to anybody that wants to get away with this. And then the problem is, when individuals like this guy that jumped out of the truck with a pistol, he got away with it so far. They haven't found him. So it just empowers him to do it over again, because they go, hey, this is easy. Nobody's got guns here. Nobody resists. Bunch of college students. We can just pull up on them in a parking lot, and we pretty much know we're not going to encounter any type of return fire, regardless of where we're at in this area, because nobody can carry guns. And it's not just the absolute, okay, I have a gun, so I'm going to shoot you back. It's the perception of, maybe I don't want to engage this individual because he could be carrying a firearm. That's the mentality you have to look at, because criminals, right, usually, on the most part, don't like any type of resistance when they're committing a crime. And that's just simple fact.
No, you're right, Austin.
Oh, are you on here with me, Dad?
Sorry, buddy. We had you, then the signal got lost and it came back in. So how do I sound?
A little light, but I can hear you.
Okay, well, I'll stay with you. But no, this is exactly what happened at Strozier Library at Florida State a couple of years ago. A guy came in to start shooting up the library at Florida State University on campus. Nobody was armed. Nobody could defend themselves. Multiple people got shot, and then finally the guy ended up killing himself. And the craziest part of all of this is the fact that they were going to try to pass a law here in Florida to allow students who basically had concealed weapons permits to come in and have a gun if they were 21 years of age, so that wouldn't happen again. And of course, this incredibly liberal mindset of these universities all over the country said absolutely not. And the sad part about it is now when we go to a football game at Florida State University, you're not even allowed to have a gun in your car on campus when you park for the football game. In other words, when you're in parking anywhere in campus in the boundaries, you're not allowed to have a weapon in your vehicle, even if it's under lock and key. That is completely and totally archaic. Who in the world makes up laws like that? So what do you have to do? You have to leave the gun in the hotel room if you got an overnight room. But what happens if you drive down to the stadium for the game for the day and all of a sudden you don't have a place to leave the gun? What are you supposed to do? Break the law, which I guess is what you're doing. So it's ridiculous, Austin. So you're absolutely right. In fact, Harrison, your younger brother, actually wrote an entire article on why they should allow concealed weapon permits on college campuses and the importance of being able to protect yourself under your Second Amendment rights. So, again, these liberal professors are so scared of guns. I mean, I've had people come in my house before, give me bids on projects or whatever we're doing, and they'd see a gun laying on the countertop, and they would actually almost soil themselves. They were so scared because there was a gun on the countertop. And I'm like, dude, why are you so scared? Well, there's a gun there. Do you think it's going to jump up and bite you? What do you think it's going to do? It's a gun. It doesn't do anything. If you'd like, I'll put the gun away. Could you please put it away? I'm terrified because it's laying on the counter. And I'm like, yeah, I'll put it away, but man, you sure are a candy boy. I can't even believe that you're like this. I'll put it away for you, but man, boy, you need to take some masculinity lessons. Something's wrong with this deal. And so that's what happens. It's just ridiculous. But yeah, but here's another story I want to cover today. Russia has an entire train system with hardened trains they developed during the Cold War, and they're actually starting to do drills again with armored train drills for the first time in 15 years. In fact, these drills appear to be very, very serious training for the mobilization of a major force that intends to bring in vast numbers and superior equipment under cover from fire. The Russians have been flaunting their latest equipment for communications jamming, which allows them to literally dominate and control an area. They've been flexing their ICBM mobile tracks. They've been giving every sign they will not be pushed around by NATO. See, this happened a few weeks ago in the Black Sea. They came over one of our destroyers in the Black Sea. They were 30, 40 miles out. They hit it with jamming technology, and the entire ship went dead. They couldn't believe it. The guys on the ship became so disheartened because they couldn't believe that they had no way to go and even defend themselves against these Russian MiGs that were strafing the ship and flying so close they could just basically almost touch the masts of the ship. Russia's not going to play this game, because remember, the same German rocket scientists that we got, they got a whole bunch of German rocket scientists also, and they have advanced technology just like we do, and we've shared a lot of that technology with them over the years, as we have China, as we have Japan. So a lot of these countries have the same type of technology that we have, and sadly, if we're not careful, we're going to find ourselves in a situation going against the same advanced technology that we've already developed. So it's interesting, Austin, that these people actually have that type of equipment. They can jam stuff that far away, and there's nothing we can do from a defense standpoint.
Yes, it is pretty crazy. And also, too, the new information is coming out now. I talked about on the show this week, I don't know if you were with me or not, Dad, about how, you know, China massively controls the internet, and how, you know, Europe now, UK, is starting their own online policing task force just to monitor and basically criminalize people that speak anything negatively. The internet is a two-edged sword for the globalists. We've gone into detail about that before, because the level of information that they will get released is extraordinary, but also, too, the level of tracking that they've been able to get has been extraordinary. Well, now the globalists are pushing harder and harder to reduce what we can do on the internet and be able to monitor it and restrict it and basically turn us into criminals if they don't want us to do something. The Department of Commerce now is set off to hand the final stages of American control over the internet to international authorities in less than 2 months, officials have confirmed. This is from the Washington Examiner. The department will finalize the transition effective October 1st. The move means the Internet Assigned Numbers Authority, which is responsible for interpreting numerical addresses on the web to a readable language, will move from U.S. control to the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, a multi-stakeholder based out of Los Angeles that includes countries such as China and Russia. Critics of this move said this could be clearly used by a totalitarian government to shut down the web around the globe, either in whole or in part, increasing the power of foreign governments over the internet, expanding ICANN's historical core mission by creating a gateway to content regulation, and embolden leadership to act without any real accountability. And this is what we're seeing now, guys. This will be the next step in trying to finalize the final demise of the United States, because a lot of stuff will not be that significant. It will not be that effective, even if they pull it off, if they cannot control and shut down the internet first. We've already talked about their supposedly, you know, an internet kill switch that they have and all types of other things. But the truth about it is, unless they can really get in there and completely control and monitor and censor everything we're getting now before it happens, it's still going to be very difficult to prevent people from being able to get online with all the technology we have now. They have to control it, and that's what they're doing now. October 1st, that's when they're going to be transitioning this over. I'm sure nothing's going to happen immediately, but again, it's just these tiny little baby incremental steps that's slowly degrading our entire country to where they want to be able to control, manipulate, and force us to do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it. And this is just one of those steps in the process.
No, I agree with you, Austin. In fact, what's happened is they took the genie out of the bottle and they're trying to put it back in. The podcast and the internet broadcast and the Global Star satellite broadcast that we're doing that are being monitored and taken all over the world now. I mean, we have emails from all over the planet. They're basically not knowing what to do with these things because people are actually telling the truth online, like us. We're telling the folks what's really going on, and they don't want us to do that anymore. They want to stop all of this. So, guys, listen to me, please. You know, support Health Masters. Support the other alternative radio broadcasts that are out there, because there's going to be a time here when we're going to be embroiled in legal conflict as far as what we're doing and what we can and can't say, because we're going to be censored, and they're going to start trying to take away our First Amendment rights. I'm telling you, that time is coming unless we get Donald Trump in the White House and unless he can get a hold of the folks at the CIA and put a big stop to it like Kennedy tried to do. But let's change the topics real quick. Just had a pediatric conference. Now they're declaring all cell phones and wireless phones, and they're saying that they actually cause brain cancer and other health issues, and they're actually admitting to it. The pediatricians are actually having conferences on this now, and they're saying that cell phone radiation exposure has been linked to cognitive impairment, which means brain damage, and also brain cancers and tumors. It also says the younger the child, the higher the risk, because the brain, the older you get, the harder the skull gets, and the child has a cartilage type of skull, and so it just directly goes right into the brain. It says that evidence of negative impact on wireless radiation on children has been presented now at the Baltimore Pediatric Conference, and they go into detail about keeping the kids away from cell phones. And it's saying that much about the long-term use of cell phones is unknown, since they've only been in wide use for a couple of decades. However, studies have connected the use with negative effects on the ability to focus, which can lead to behavioral issues. The CTIA, which represents the U.S. Wireless Commission Industry, cites an FDA statement claiming there's not enough evidence. That is a complete and total lie to show that wireless technology devices cause health risks. Clearly, this is false. So, guys, listen to me again. I'm doing this show from a cell phone. I'm holding the cell phone about 18 inches away from me. I don't have a microphone on today because I don't have that tech, I don't have that equipment with me. But the reality is this. I'm not sticking this phone to my head. It's not going to happen. The closer you get to your head with this microwave generator, which is what this is, like a little microwave beam coming out of this thing to the cell tower, the closer you put it to your head, the more you're going to irradiate your head. The same thing. I shut it off when I carry it on my person. If I put it in one of my pockets, I turn it off. It's not that important for people to contact me 24/7 when I'm in the bathroom or using the toilet or talking to somebody else. I just shut it down if it's on me, and then I check my messages. You don't need to radiate your leg or over your heart or anything like that. It's simply not safe. What do you think, Austin?
No, you're absolutely right. You have to be very careful. And like you said, keeping it away, because I don't remember the exact numbers on it, but they say like every inch away it goes away from your body, it decreases substantially. So, I mean, when you're holding it, say, 2 inches away from your head compared to holding it 18 inches away from your head, it's substantially different as far as the radiation level that you're being absorbed. And so the best thing to do is, I mean, with the Wi-Fi and all the stuff now, I mean, it's hard to completely get away from it, but there's absolutely no question that the up-close cell phone buried into your ear for extended periods of time is the absolute worst radiation exposure you can get. You're much better off using even something like a Bluetooth device or something like that than just having the giant cell phone emitter right up to your head, because that's not healthy. They've already shown that, as you've said before. There's been numerous studies now that show that's an absolute mess to do. Also, too, now, did a little bit more research on what they're doing to us down here in Florida. You know, the chemical that the EPA is using is approved as an insecticide. It's called the NALED, N-A-L-E-D, is what they're using in Florida right now, that they're supposedly just spraying South Florida, which is a complete and total lie. Malin is a neurotoxin that kills adult mosquitoes. In addition, it kills pollinators such as bees and butterflies. Well, this is interesting now. A 2014 study conducted at the University of California. Now, remember, guys, remember 2 weeks ago when they said they were considering using Nalid, spraying it on us like bugs down in South Florida and all throughout Florida for the supposed Zika virus that we're having an epidemic with right now, even though they have not found a single mosquito in the state of Florida that has Zika. This stuff, this Nalid they want to spray on us, this pesticide, they said it's completely safe. Don't worry about it. It's not an issue. We're going to spray it. It's going to kill the mosquitoes. It's completely fine. Now this comes out 2 years ago. A study was conducted at the University of California directly showed that pregnant women living within a few miles of farms where pesticide Nalid was sprayed had 60% increased risk of their child developing autism disorders or experiencing developmental delays. Dr. David Permittler, a board-certified neurologist, said authorities need to take a step back and look at the broader picture of what these spraying interventions are doing and weighing up the risk versus benefit. He said besides causing autism, they've been directly linked to breathing problems, involuntary twitching, seizures, and cancer. Even the EPA has classified this as likely being carcinogenic to humans. However, nobody seems to do anything about it down here in Florida right now. They think it's okay because we're so scared of catching the Zika virus, which nobody seems to understand is like a 2 to 3 day virus. And if your immune system's strong enough, you completely pull it off anyways. A lot of times you don't even know you've got it. You think you got a cold. The only significant danger is to pregnant women. And in that, it's still questionable if that's the direct cause from it because of what we've seen down in South America with the massive immunizations and pesticide usage as well, along with the glyphosate. So there's all these factors that are going on right now. This whole Zika just shenanigans that they're trying to promote and shove down our throats right now is complete and total fear-mongering. I went over in detail the other day on the whole protocol and why they're trying to do this. But I want to give you guys a heads up on this Nalid stuff they're spraying on us and why it's so toxic and why we're trying to get it stopped immediately.
Well, the same thing with the malathion. Malathion was like Agent Orange. It's like real unbelievably poisonous. And they were spraying that on us back in the 90s. I mean, it's just unbelievable how bad these poisons are they put on us. And they think it's okay. And back in the 90s, we actually had to get a consumer group together and sue the state of Florida to stop it. Because they were coming over our houses with DC-3s. I saw them do it. I stood outside, saw the thing turn loose the spray nozzles, and I ran inside and shut the doors. I said, this is insanity. And they were flying like 150 feet. They were missing everything. It was awful. Oh, by the way, another tie together with the story that we did yesterday. The terrified British motorist who was attacked in Calais by the gang of chainsaw-welding migrants who hurled concrete boulders at his car is warning people to avoid Calais, France. This is what's going on in France right now. These migrants are just taking over and just completely and totally wreaking havoc in all these different areas where they're being put into. Chainsaws. I want to ask a simple question. Where did a migrant get a chainsaw? Who taught them how to use a chainsaw? How do they not cut their own arm off with a chainsaw? I mean, it's complete nonsense. This is actually happening, and we're in a situation where everybody thinks this is okay and nobody's asking any questions. One more story from Russia today. U.S.-backed forces have actually given hundreds of ISIS fighters safe passage. Why? They're trained by us, they're financed by us, and the Mossad. Several hundred vehicles containing 100 to 200 Islamic State fighters were given safe passage by the U.S.-based forces out of the northern city of Manjbi after surrendering their weapons, according to defense officials. I don't believe one second they surrendered their weapons. U.S. Army Colonel Carver, a spokesman for the U.S.-led coalition fighters, told Pentagon reporters the decision to let these terrorists go and leave the city were made by the commanders of the Syrian Defense Democratic Force. I don't believe any of this. Colonel Carver described how ISIS had civilians in each of the vehicles and the military wanted to avoid casualties. Nonsense. Total garbage. You didn't know why many of the civilians have been in the cars voluntarily. They weren't hostages. They were ISIS fighters that were saying they were civilians. Come on, guys, get a grip over there. The 100 to 200 fighters left the city last Friday under the watch of coalition drones to ensure the militants didn't regroup. Okay, whatever, to try to return to the city. It was the first such agreement with the terror group ISIS. The fighters were allegedly using civilians as human shields to escape.
complete and total crap. That's what that story is. These guys weren't doing any of that. If you watch the movie 13 hours, one thing that was the overlying theme on this entire movie when you watch it, they couldn't tell the good guys from the bad guys. They wanted to know who the good guys were, who the bad guys were, and they were running around giving phone numbers out to the bad guys from the good guys. It was a disaster over there because they all look alike, and that's not a racist comment. It's a fact, and nobody knows who's the good people. That same thing happened in Vietnam. When you had the Vietnamese, you had the good guys, you had the bad guys, and our troops never knew who they were. This is like a ridiculous type of warfare in which it's supposed to be politically correct. None of it's politically correct. It's all through the Mossad, all through the U.S. We arm these guys. We train these guys. You can thank George Bush and Hillary and Obama for this nonsense. You can thank the proponents of the New World Order for this nonsense. And now why in the world would they shoot their own guys? That's what this is about, and you guys have got to understand this is what's going on. Now Angela Merkel is saying that the refugees did not bring terrorism to Germany. Okay, I will agree with that in a blanket statement as a absolute. There already were terrorist attacks happening in Germany irregularly on a limited scale. They were some of those going on, but considering that they're all 16 states in Germany now, are basically rape capitals of Europe, are you joking me, from these Muslims? Okay, that's not okay. Angela Merkel is a complete and total nutbag. She's a communist stooge. She's a Stasi, as far as I'm concerned, from the East German secret police. And she's bad news, and she's dragging Germany into a ditch that they may never be able to get out of unless they stop this massive, massive, massive immigration influx into their country, Austin. What do you think?
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. And with the safe passage of the ISIS fighters, I can tell you how that whole thing went. The whole convoy of ISIS fighters pulls up, U.S. coalition. They come up to the door. Hey, are you guys ISIS fighters? Oh, no, we're not ISIS fighters. We're civilians. Okay, guys, we need to go ahead and leave your weapons here if you're ISIS. If you're civilians, we're not too worried about it, but you need to leave any weapons here. If you're not ISIS, though, as soon as you get to the next checkpoint over there, there'll be another weapons cache for you with fresh ammunition and fresh AKs. You can just pick up your guns there since you guys are civilians. We trust you guys since you're okay. You guys can just go through because we believe you're not terrorists. That's about as stupid a story as they're trying to make everybody believe right now with that whole nonsense. The problem is these guys are unbelievably just twisted radicals. Because they get to go this place and they're shown something, if that even happened, if that story isn't even 100% fabricated, why in the world, when they got to their next destination, would they not meet up with their other buddies and go pick up new arms and go do the exact same thing they were doing? That's complete and total nonsense. Like Dad said, all that is complete and total just, it's obfuscation, it's propaganda. All they're trying to do is make it seem like we're actually doing something over there to slow down or stop them, when in reality, we're fully funding them, arming them, and sending them weapons drops and weapon caches via parachute on a regular basis. I remember that video, homemade video came out years ago, probably about 2 years ago, when all this stuff started happening. Guy posted up one of those Islamic websites, and supposedly, the U.S. Air Force mistaked the wrong shipment and dropped it off at the wrong coordinates, and all of a sudden, these ISIS fighters were over there, and they started having 2 and 3 parachute weapon caches dropped, and the dude's going through these boxes on video, U.S. military property, open up, full case of hand grenades, opens up another one, full case of hand grenades, opens up another one, full case of RPGs, and the U.S. government goes, oh, we don't know how that happened. We dropped it on the wrong coordinates. We have no idea how it landed 200 miles away from where it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be for the freedom fighters that were fighting ISIS. We don't know how that happened. Really? Our U.S. technology is that sloppy? We can't even make airdrops in the proper areas now? Give me a break. It's complete and total nonsense. We're funding them with anything and everything we have on a regular basis, and we know we're doing it, and nobody wants to talk about it. So when they feed us piles of garbage like this, just ridiculous story, forgive us if we don't believe it, like Dad said. It's just out of control.
Well, I've got some good news for the folks that are on medical marijuana. Now, I'm going to stop and say this again. I don't believe in the wholesale use of cannabis for recreational purposes. I believe states should have a right to regulate that. I don't believe that that has anything positive to do for anybody, especially if they're a child and they start smoking dope at a young age or cannabis that's been laced with who knows what. But there are medical properties of cannabis that work very well for cancer treatments and all kinds of other disease. I believe if it's properly regulated, it should be allowed to be legal. 25 states now have medical marijuana that's available to him. And last week, the tyrannical DEA doubled down on their immoral decision to classify marijuana having no medical value, which is stupid because it does. They continue to kidnap, cage, and kill people for possessing it. However, in a major victory, a well-deserved slap in the face of the DEA, a federal appeals court just ruled that prosecuting medical marijuana users and growers is now banned. In other words, they can't prosecute any one of those 25 states if they're medical marijuana users. The 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals 3-judge panel has ruled that the Department of Justice cannot spend budget money to prosecute people who grow, sell, or use medical marijuana if they comply with state law. The 25 states who have found themselves subject to continuous raid in spite of medical pot being legal. Well, did that have solace in the fact that the DOJ can no longer throw money at the futile and immoral practice of arresting people for plants? I agree with that. I mean, here's the thing, guys. Somebody wants to smoke dope and they're 21 years old, you know, make it a fine. Make it a fine. Give them a $500 ticket, like, with no point, you know, whatever. And you can get as many of those as you want. You're not going to go to jail. It's not going to add up to form a misdemeanor, then form a felony and all that nonsense. Just whatever. And then if kids do it, they need to be sent into counseling because it stops brain development in children. If a kid is 12 or 13 years old and they start smoking pot on a regular basis, like on a daily, semi-daily basis, what's going to happen is they're going to arrest their own brain development and they're never going to mature. Their brains aren't going to make the connections they need to make. And so you're going to have a 12-year-old who's in a 25-year-old body 13 years that basically acts like a 12-year-old, and they're going to sit around in their mommy and daddy's basement staying stoned all the time. That's not conducive for anybody, for anything, and it shouldn't be allowed. But if a 21-year-old wants to do it and pay the fines or pay the tickets, who cares? It's like Austin with the window tint ticket he got the other day. Whatever. Use the window tint, pay the fine again if you get stopped again. Who cares? It's just part of what it is. But putting people in prison because they get caught with a plant is complete stupidity. Make it a fine in all states. That's how I look at it. And don't go after people who are using it because they've got cancer or glaucoma and a plethora of other reasons. But again, what it does, it goes against the medical, industrial, pharmaceutical complex because you're providing cures for diseases that they have claimed the patents on, and you can no longer say that I can cure this or cure that with a natural remedy. The same thing with turmeric and all these other chemicals, that chemical drugs that are going against turmeric now and all these other things that are plant-based products that work so well. I mean, you know, the India Journal of Diabetes said that if a pre-diabetic starts taking turmeric on a regular basis, there's a 100% stoppage of that person coming down with adult onset diabetes. 100% they stop it. So guys, you know, there are all kinds of natural things, and that's what we talk about at Health Master. So please sign up for our emails. They're completely free. Continue to tell people about our broadcast and get more and more people listening on our shows every single day because guys, it's really, really important. Oh, by the way, here's an article. North Carolina teachers are ordered to avoid calling students boys and girls. It's and theys, I guess. I don't know what they're going to call them. The educators at a North Carolina public school, remind me never to live in North Carolina, by the way, public school district have been ordered to avoid using gender-specific pronouns when addressing pupils. So supposedly to a recently published training manual, they can't. Supporting transgender students provides guidance for the upcoming school year from K to 12. Teachers of the, okay, I'm not even going to read this. This is just making me angry. This is stupid, okay? I don't even know how to not make this whole article stupid. You can't call them a boy or a girl? Are you joking me? An it or a they or a whatever because they're transgender? Hey, get a grip. Mamas, if you're pregnant, don't eat soy protein. Don't give your boys soy formula. You know, get away from the meats that contain hormones in them. Stop doing all this nonsense and stop having all these little boys that are feminized because of the female hormones in the food supply. Stop drinking BPA out of water bottles. That'll also do the same thing. And realize there's all kinds of natural foods you can eat when you're pregnant and you don't have to eat all this junk all the time. Think about the unborn infant. Now, I realize a lot of mothers don't care. They don't care what their kids do. They don't care how their kids are developed. They don't care if the kids have Ritalin. They don't care if they... I got that. And guys, there are a lot of guys who feel the same way, too. But guys, we're called to a higher purpose than that. God didn't allow us the ability to have children, not to care about the kids and to be indifferent towards these children. We've got to learn that we've got to do the best we possibly can on an ongoing basis to keep these kids alive and to make sure that these kids are going to be, you know, taken care of to the best that we possibly can. And if we don't do it that way, we need to really reevaluate whether we want to have children or not.
And, you know, we have four kids. And I tell you what, some of the decisions that you've got to make for these kids, they're heartbreaking. They're heart-wrenching for you as a parent. But you've got to realize that the only way you can raise these champion children the way you need to raise them is you've got to have the ability to make the hard decisions. You know, like a couple of years ago, one of my daughters was having, she was going sideways on us. We couldn't stop it. And we had to send her to a private school that was very, very inexpensive out here in Montana. In fact, we came out here one of the reasons to visit her. And so she's doing great now, so we're pulling her out of the private school after a year of being here, and we realize now she's doing great. She's rededicated her heart and her life to Jesus Christ, and she's completely changed and altered. That took a full year of her being in this type of environment, you know, very closely monitored in order to do that. But the truth is, if you don't do that for your child when you know you have the opportunity to do it, then you start having sideways kids, you have to ask yourself a question. Why did I not intervene? Why did I not try to do something when I had the opportunity to do something? You can't look at them when they're 18, 19, 20 years old and they're stoners, and all they want to do basically is stay stoned all the time and they're failing school, and ask yourself a question, why didn't I do what I was supposed to do when I was supposed to do it? That's not what having kids is all about. Guys, listen to me. The world is pulling so hard against these children everywhere we go now. The reality is we have to basically come in and pull just as hard the other direction to make sure that the world doesn't take our children. I mean, with all the internet porn and all the junk that's going on, we've got to monitor this stuff and be careful with the kids. That's why I've said before, if at all possible, homeschool your children. And ladies and men, please listen to me for a second. In some cases, you can actually save enough money with credits from the government and everything else, if the lady doesn't work in the household, to basically pay for the kids to be at home and to homeschool them, or to even hire a private tutor. You know, putting them in private school is extremely expensive, but sometimes if you have the money to do that, you can do that too if it's a private Christian school. But remember, we tried to do that initially with All Saints in Winter Haven, Florida, and the place became so secular and so politically correct that I couldn't deal with it anymore. And after 5 years of Harrison being there, we pulled him out of there along with the other girls, and we started homeschooling him. And then and again, what we did with Harrison, when he's 15 years old, we were able to put him in collegiate high school program because he passed his entrance exams. And so now he's had free college for the last couple of years, and he has one more year to go to graduate with his AA degree, and he'll be in his senior year of college. So there's all kinds of alternatives that you can do. And so the college, for the first 3 years for Harrison, has been totally free. See, this is what we have to do. If we can find ways to make things work, just look at it from a cost-benefit analysis and realize there's all kinds of ways of looking at it to try to help these kids the best we possibly can. And guys, sometimes you can't do it. Sometimes you're just going to have to rely on prayer, because in many cases, prayer is all we got. And so if that's the case, make sure you pray as strong as you can, as often as you can, because prayer will change things. Because I've taught you guys, it's a scalar wave, and it will literally change the fabric of space-time if you pray on a continual basis. So that's what I have to say about that, Austin. Sorry I got on little bit of a...
Well, no, it's interesting because I had actually pulled that article up and looked at it earlier, and I was almost just in shock when I started reading it, what they're doing over there in this full school district. And it's not high schools that they're implementing this. It's K through 12, like you said. And, I mean, it's completely nauseating to me that they're indoctrinating these kids into this unbelievably twisted lifestyle. I mean, it's bad enough to have this whole gay agenda that we've seen for the last 20 years pressed on us just unbelievably hard, but now this whole transgender, bigender, genderqueer, whatever you want to call it, these crazy names they're coming up with now, and now they're intentionally going out of their way to promote this behavior. And kids that a lot of times, man, even if their moms didn't drink soy, even if they didn't even have estrogenic issues, there's still going to be cause for these kids to question it now, because at 4, 5, 6 years of age, if you don't know anything about this, if this never gets brought up, in most cases, you naturally start being attracted to the opposite sex in normal conditions. When you start bringing stuff up like this, like the gender unicorn, and you need to click on these gender identity and gender expressions, and then you start having the teachers not gender specific, specify anybody, they want to line students up by birth month or their favorite color, not boy, girl. They have to consider them scholars or students. The other thing they want to have in here is the gender identity. They can allow them to dress how they want, and of course they have to let them use any bathroom they want with that Fourth Circuit Court ruling. So this is just completely out of hand now, that it's not only something that, and remember I talked about this, you know, what this generation tolerates, the next generation is going to embrace. And that's what we're seeing now, is we've tolerated this now for the last 10, 15 years, this whole gay agenda that's morphed now into this transgender, bisexual, incredibly perverted agenda now that's unbelievably worse than it was before. And now not only are they just doing it with the adults, they're not just doing it in the Hollywood R-rated movies. They're bringing it through K through 12th grade without the parents' approval. They're not even asking parents if they can do this. This is being incorporated into the public school system in this area. And you better believe if they're doing this in North Carolina, they're going to start doing this all across the country. I promise you, it won't even be a question. It'll be happening before you even realize it. So Dad's absolutely right. Any option you can do to keep them out of this environment, because you may raise your kids right. You may keep them in church. You may have brought them up as far as when they were in utero, when they were in birth, how they were fed. Everything may have been done properly. But I'm telling you what, you put them in 8 hours of this sadistic, perverted indoctrination school, 8 hours a day for the next, you know, what, 10 years of their life, 12 years of their life, and you're going to sit there and say, oh, it just happened. It wasn't my fault. It just happened that way. They were going to do it anyways. No, they weren't. This is unbelievably pollutive to the child's mindset, especially if you start looking at different types of psychological elements with children when they're young and indoctrinated into this. So, yeah, you're absolutely right, Dad. Now, this is a bizarre, bizarre thing right now. You guys already know CERN, the whole collider over there in Europe, how weird this thing is. Now, a camera over there that was in one of the rooms caught these guys having a mock ritual human sacrifice out front in front of the Hindu Shiva, that giant god they have out front. This is a crazy story right here, guys. The European Organization for Nuclear Research, CERN, has launched an investigation now into a video filmed at night on its Geneva campus doing a mock ritual human sacrifice. The video circulated online, you can watch this online, it's really bizarre, I watched it earlier, shows several individuals in black cloaks gathering in a main square at Europe's top psychic lab and appear to be reenacting an occult ceremony. The video includes the staged stabbing of a woman. It's filmed basically by a secret viewer watching from a window, it seems like. As the ceremony reaches its climax, people start screaming and yelling like I guess they do in ceremony stuff. It appears to have been staged in front of the statue of the Hindu Shiva that's on permanent display at the complex. And the CERN spokesperson has come out now and said, CERN does not condone this type of behavior. We're looking into this. This is a misunderstanding about our scientific nature of work, and we have an internal investigation going forth on it now. But it does show that the people involved in this did have access badges. So they did work there, which means they did approve of this, and they are okay with it. They can come out and say whatever they want now. This video probably wasn't supposed to get released. They were probably doing some type of mock sacrifice to get the individuals ready for whatever else they were going to do somewhere else. And this is some type of prep they were doing. But this is very weird behavior. I don't care if it was a prank or not. Who in the world does mock ritual sacrifices and killing a woman in front of a goddess out front of a building? Who does stuff like that? That's not even funny. Nobody in their right mind engages in that type of behavior unless they truly believe that that's something you really need to be involved in, because you strongly believe that type of satanic ritual is okay. I don't know what else to say about it, Dad. Did you hear about that today yet?
Oh, yeah, I read about it also. Awesome. Let me tell you about that. Who else does it? The blithering, weirdo, psychopathic Satanists go to Bohemian Grove every year, engage in a mock ritual sacrifice in front of Moloch. I mean, this is our world leaders. This is what we tell you this stuff, not because we're trying to scare you, because we're trying to inform you, and not because we're trying to sound like a bunch of whack bags ourselves. I don't even like talking about this stuff, but this is what these people do. They sacrifice human beings. They drink human blood. They do these crazy rituals like they're doing at CERN, the same ritual they do all the time now at Bohemian Grove when they mock sacrifice. And here's the thing. How do we know that that wasn't a real sacrifice at CERN in front of Shiva? How do we know these people aren't really alive when they mock sacrifice them to Moloch? Nobody knows what's wrapped up in these sheets over in Bohemian Grove. And then also they have this person screaming over the loudspeakers as they're being burned alive.
Remember, this god Moloch requires the sacrifice of children, of blood, and this is what they do. I mean, this remember that book I read you guys a few months ago on the air? I talked about how 9/11 is a human sacrifice ritual. That's exactly what they do. This is how they control the attention field. They do it by doing this to people all over the planet and killing people. That's why so many of these children are abducted and never heard or seen from again. They're either sold into sex rings or they're basically sacrificed for these old farts like Soros, who should be dead by now, who get these glandular injections into the body from these young children. This is some crazy stuff that these guys do on an ongoing basis to keep themselves alive. I did a whole story the other day about how the founder of PayPal gets fresh blood injections from young folks all the time to reverse his aging process. These guys are obsessed with blood, and they're obsessed with the life-giving properties of blood. I mean, this whole thing is a blood sacrifice ritual complex in Bohemian Grove, and apparently now also at CERN, because they're trying to bring in these deities and these gods and the demons through these portals that are being opened up through this Hadron Collider, trying to develop these different particles. They're trying to open up other dimensions to bring Satan and demons onto this planet. That's what they're trying to do, because they want to bring their god Lucifer back in the flesh, apparently. They want the Nephilim back on the planet. They don't want to talk about the fact that Genesis chapter 6 says that God's already flushed the entire planet, wants to get rid of these things. So guys, this is a major mess, and I'm glad you brought that story up in detail, Austin. I was kind of iffy about talking about it, because we talk about it all the time, and we don't like talking about it, but now this is slaps right in the face. They're openly caught doing this, and of course they're going to investigate it. They're not going to investigate it. These guys have badges. I guarantee you it was probably, they were asked to do it to try to bring more power, more energy into that area for these demons. So what a mess, Austin.
No, that's as soon as I saw it, that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I wanted to expose this, because a lot of people, this is not on mainstream news, a lot of people are never going to see this. They have no idea it happened. And we've gone into detail about the unbelievably demonic presence this CERN promotes, just for the fact that that goddess statue out front of there, that's their main symbol. I mean, a giant occultic symbol that they have in front of their building, and then all the stuff they're wrapped up in now, with trying to bring open these scientific black holes and portals to the other dimension. CERN wants to do
let's not forget about what happened with the opening of that tunnel. I mean, I was just there.
Oh, yeah.
I was there right after. I mean, I was there. They had a full-blown druidic worship services with fallen angels, people engaged in lesbian sex. On this parade they had, people walking around like zombies, all of it to bring in their demonic masters, and they're dedicating all of this to druidic worship services with the birth of the fallen angel and the resurrection of Lucifer. Are you kidding me? What kind of psychos do this? It reminds me of Hillary Clinton and her emails that were released when she talks about going out in the backyard and sacrificing a chicken to Moloch. Who talks like that? Our leaders of the world talk like that. That's what they do. They're a bunch of whack-bag weirdos that basically think they can do anything they want to do and get away with it. And guys, that's what this show is all about. We're not playing their little stupid whack bag games anymore. We're telling you the truth, and we're letting you guys know this is what they're up to, this is what they're doing. Austin, I got to step away from the show again. I love you guys. Thank you for listening. I'm glad I got to spend 45 minutes with you today. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for supporting our office and all the things that we do. I appreciate you guys. And thanks for getting your multiple supplements from us. Just thank you for listening. Make sure you just podcast this thing. And Austin, go ahead and put a detailed description of this podcast today and send it over to Todd so we get listed on iTunes. I love you guys. I appreciate you. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good, bud. You guys be safe.
Thanks, bud. Bye-bye.
In other news, too, now, this has been going on in Wyoming for quite some time now over in Wyoming. State legislator, they levied a tax on wind in an effort to protect the fossil fuel industry by putting wind farms essentially out of business. Wyoming has already been taxing the energy generated by wind turbines at a rate of $1 per megawatt an hour produced. Now, if you guys have ever been out west before, I've been out there a couple times, you'll go to some of these areas, and there's just, as far as the eye can see, these giant windmills. And it's great because they produce so much electricity, and it's super clean electricity. It's derived from the wind. It doesn't get any cleaner than that. And they're really, really, really efficient. They're pretty cool, too, when you go out there and look at them. And what Wyoming has done now is they're generating taxes off of them. They've so far generated $15 million for the state with just that $1 tax. but it's placed a significant burden on the wind power industry. Listen to this. No new wind farm projects have gone and been undertaken since the tax went into effect in 2012. None. Zero. Not a single one. Because they're sucking up all the significant top-grade profit off these windmills that these guys are making. And so all the taxes are just going to Wyoming, which I understand you have to have taxes on some things to keep certain things going, but they already have to pay permit taxes, they already have to get build taxes, they already have to get business taxes, they already have to pay all these different taxes just to erect one of these windmills, and so there's so much significant upfront cost producing these windmills to get them running that now when they get them up there, now they got to start paying a buck for every megawatt an hour it produces, which can obviously do quite a bit, $15 million in the last 4 years. That's not a huge amount of money for a state, but that's still a significant amount of income off the top when you've got to remember these, a lot of these windmills do not break even for a very, very long time because of how much cost has gone into building them. Now, the state is considering raising the tax up to as much as $12 per megawatt an hour, which this move would effectively put wind farms completely out of business. That's probably right to the limit of where they can go and actually stay just slightly profitable. I'm sure Wyoming's looked at this now, and so this is what they're considering doing. The potential of Wyoming's wind industry is huge. The state could eventually supply half of the nation's wind power just out of Wyoming. And that's all these different options we have, especially out there. And so solar and wind are two of the easiest powers to basically come by. I mean, down here in Florida, a lot of us have solar panels. We got solar panels on top of the barn. We got solar panels on top of the office. People all over here have solar panels because of how sunny it is. And they're usually pretty cost-effective, too. And what the state started doing down here in Florida, because TECO, which is our electric company that we get as far as in Central Florida, was making so much money, I mean, an absolute raping off everybody. Our electric bills down here are very, very high. I mean, they're not the highest in the country, but they're not cheap. They started making TECO subsidize the solar panels for houses, for individual houses. If you could basically go in and apply for it, they'd have a certain time they would open up, basically like a bidding, and you could go in and put your name in, and so many people would actually get subsidized. And so what you do is you have to pay for the solar panels up front. Then once everything's installed, it's confirmed, it's legal, it's basically signed off, nobody's getting shot, nobody's getting electrocuted, they have power breakers so you can shut the power back off outside so it doesn't go back into the electric pole and the capacitors. If the power goes down and you're still making energy, you obviously have to be able to shut those down for safety reasons. Once all that's approved, TECO has to cut you a check back for the entire remainder up to a certain point that was authorized. So it's pretty cool that state of Florida did that, and it didn't hurt TECO one single bit, didn't hurt their profit margins at all. They still make an absolute killing, but what it did was it allowed the individuals in Central Florida to become much more self-sufficient off their own power. I mean, now a lot of times the electric bills, I mean, are somewhere in the double digits. That's it. You know, even with all the stuff we have operating here at the office right now, which is really, really cool. And then when you look at it, you go, there's all these other options that we could do. Why not try and tap into them, especially in a state like Florida where we have sun, or in a state like Wyoming where they just have a plethora of wind all the time out there. I mean, you go out to Kansas, all those areas. So it's really interesting to see this, but then when Wyoming wants to do this and go absurd with it, I don't agree with that at all. $12 per megawatt per hour, I mean, like you said, it's essentially going to put these guys almost out of business. There's not going to be any incentive to start up new windmill factories, any type of place over there, because you're not going to be able to make any money. By the time you actually break even, you're going to have so much sunk cost that it's going to be just an entire waste of money and project. Now, this is interesting. The Zip question and answer app, which is a basically an app that you can download on your phone, has roughly around 100,000 daily users that poses questions and polls. And it's showing now with the presidential polling that it ran, it looks like a couple weeks ago, that Trump is 64% in the lead and Clinton has it 6%. That's a huge difference from what we're seeing all over on the mainstream media. Far different from what the lying mainstream media is saying. Nearly all the support for Hillary Clinton is entirely fabricated, what we're seeing on TV and online. It's all a joke. It's a complete total joke. I talked to a friend of mine who's from New York, real good friend of ours, customer of ours, that comes down to Vero Beach area during the sometimes his vacation home. And so he's back and forth, and so he comes down to, you know, towards Vero Beach, Fort Lauderdale, which is usually a pretty Democratic liberal area. Usually when you see the voting blockets from the counties for the presidential races, that whole South Florida area is always blue every time. And, you know, the Central Florida areas and all that are always red. And he told me, he said, when I'm up in New York, he goes, nobody's supporting Hillary. He goes, all I see are people with Trump stickers, and people, when I talk to them, they're all Trump. He goes, and I came down to Florida, and he goes, I hear this poll the other day on TV saying how Hillary's basically almost passing Trump in Florida, and they're doing this poll down here. And he goes, I've talked to like a dozen people. Every time I run into somebody or I start small talk with somebody, he says, this guy's really nice. He talks to people all the time. He goes, nobody's voting for Hillary. He goes, majority of the people are all voting for Trump. And he's like, I had a few people that are kind of irritated and said they're not voting for anybody. He said, but nobody, I've talked to nobody that wants to vote for Hillary. And I said, I know. I said, it's complete and total sham. I said, they're officially rigging these polls. They're rigging them. And they're basically trying to demoralize Trump supporters. That's exactly what they're doing. They're pulling a full-blown psych op on everybody right now. It's not just to confuse people. They want to try and make everybody feel like Trump's losing, Trump's not doing good, no, he's not going anywhere, we need Hillary in the White House, which is a complete and total lie because she's a nightmare, an absolute nightmare. Her health, right now, the FBI, Benghazi, I mean, golly, take your pick. But just look at the fact of what her health is doing right now, how bad a shape she's in, how the Secret Service now is leaking her health records, and you go, doesn't America have a right to know what their presidential candidate is having issues with? I mean, last time I checked, that's kind of important. If you're going to vote for somebody, you need to make sure they're at least in moderately good health. They're not about to die or about to have to go have a heart transplant or about to go in some type of epileptic seizure every time they get around lights. There's all kinds of stuff swirling around about Hillary, and there's no question about it. There's something going on with her mentally and physically because she's not... not that she ever acted like a rational person, but the fact of what we're seeing now is so bizarre and so weird that nobody's wanting to even talk about it on the mainstream media. Everybody's acting like, oh yeah, this is normal, it's okay, it's all good, she's fine, she's winning, Trump's not doing good, we don't know what's going on, but we know Trump's not doing good at all. That's all we're hearing from the mainstream media. So there's something going on with this, and the thing about it is, the only people that you ever end up talking to, as far as if you ever hear about them supporting Hillary, they're all unbelievably like left-wing nutbags. They want to ban the Second Amendment. They want to confiscate weapons. They want to turn the country into basically a socialistic state. I mean, their ideology is so twisted and polluted because it doesn't make any sense. These are the only type of people that could possibly even conceive voting for somebody like this. So it's really weird. And also, too, we see all these guys, these four guys now, and literally in the past 2 months, that have all died. The DNC staffer, Seth Rich, which was really strange how, you know, he basically was leaving a bar and then all of a sudden was shot dead, but it was not an attempted robbery because not a single possession was taken off his person, not even his watch. So every time we start seeing these guys come out against her, you know, he produced the thing with the DNC email link. Every time somebody starts going in these Clintons, they always end up dying. So these are some weird, weird people to be involved in. I really hope we can wake up the American population and make them realize, I don't know if Trump's going to do well. I don't know if they're just going to crash the economy when he gets in there. I don't know if he's a Trojan horse. I'm pretty confident he's not. I'm pretty sure that he's going to try and do the best he can. But as far as I'm concerned, would I rather have Trump in there for the next 4 years, at least knowing that I have a good, strong individual that at least maybe wanted to do some change, instead of this sadistic person that's involved in all these killings all the time, is completely ridden with all types of health issues and wants to take away almost every last right that the American population has? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. So that's why we ask you guys, man, promote us, promote Hagmans, promote Hodges. Get everybody out there. Wake everybody up. Get the American population awake from their slumber. And just get the patriot movement going. That's what we've been trying to do now for the last couple of years. And it's working. It really is working, guys. And we appreciate your support. We appreciate everybody's support online, all the emails, everybody that writes in. We do the best to respond to everything we can as fast as we can. I was answering a ton of emails yesterday. And so, I mean, we try and stay caught up on everything, especially since Dad's gone right now. I'm having to answer most of the emails, or I'm having to try and get him to forward me stuff back. So we appreciate the patience that you guys are giving us. We thank you for all the support you guys have been giving us. It's really been good. And like I said, wake as many people up as you can, man, and do your best, absolute best, to let them know what's going on. And sometimes you got to start small, guys. Sometimes you can't just go all overboard. You start talking to them about mock ritual sacrifices at the CERN Center last night and all this other stuff. A lot of times people are going to get a little weird. They're going to be like, well, you're kind of loopy. I don't really know if I believe you anyways. But bringing up sure facts that you can already prove of what's going on, the fact that Hillary Clinton perjured herself four times now and Congress has pointed that out, the fact that she had multiple FBI charges for leaking classified information that people who have done much, much less have gone to prison for and been fined exponentially and been court-martialed, and she got absolutely nothing. These are just normal facts. These are just stated facts. There's no arguing with them. I don't even care if you're a brain-dead liberal. They're just facts. You can't argue with them. So getting those people to kind of understand what's going on and promote the facts, not just conspiracies, not just, you know, your ideas or your basically thoughts on what you think could be going on, but actual facts. And it really wakes a lot of people up when you do that. That way people can take you seriously and they go, this guy's got some pretty solid points. I got to look into this. This is a pretty legitimate argument. You know, I really can't deny that. So I hear the music, guys. I appreciate you. We got everything, you know, out today. The Excellent C is on sale. I told you about it yesterday. 10% off. Actually, it's over 10% off. It's a pretty good deal right now. Product of the week. If you guys need anything, give us a call. Email us. The TED CD set for the Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program for free on orders over $200 is still good till the end of this weekend. Let us know if you need anything, guys. You have a blessed night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.